County Supervisors reconvene. I have a public comment. It says City of Wairika. You don't represent the City of Wairika.
No, I don't. Oh, is that what it means? I'm sorry.
I'm just clarifying. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not representing the City of Wairika.
Okay. I want to make that clear for the record. Thank you. So, go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm translating on behalf of the four of us, five of us sitting back there. Just listening to some of the comments, we feel like it was directly towards the Hmong, but we're not the only, the Hmongs are not the only one that are doing the illegal world. There are other races. And we want to mention that, property taxes, if we do, pay property taxes, look at the economy of Siskiyou County, from 6 years ago till now, the economy, the work and everything we're providing, we're shopping, we're giving to the community. We are giving in, and look at the community right now. Academically, it's growing. We're, Walmart, fast food, gas station, we're providing jobs, we're helping out. And we just want to let you guys know that. We want to let you guys know so you guys can hear us that, we're not doing it for our own good. We're not the only race out there. Hmong, like it's being drafted towards the Hmong. We're not the only race out there. We do put and help out a lot within the community. That we don't just do illegal to set money back and fraudulent activities. We give it back into the community. And so we want to let you guys know that and hear us out that some of the comments does hurt and it's directly towards the Hmong. And we're not the only race out there.
Can I just make a comment?
Yeah, sure.
Just so you know, illegal marijuana is what we're talking about. It's been around for years before you ever got here, since I've been on the board. So as Rabzov, I think you would agree, we've always been dealing with illegal grows. And so that's...
Yeah, for me, it's not a...
It's not a... Yeah, please don't interpret that we're looking for on anyone.
Don't take that from me.
And the board is very cognizant.
What the public may say, that's... my focus is black market cannabis production and organized crime.
Okay. Thank you.
So please convey that, please.
Okay.
Any other comment online? Press star 9, please.
Seeing none.
Okay, and I think I'm going to turn to council at this point for some clarification on some development.
Sure. There's been some discussion having to do with situations where people might want to legitimately use water off site, but obtaining a permit would be problematic. Some of the instances that were described were if you had an emergency situation, emergency services, for instance, to fight a fire. I know somebody mentioned sometimes you may have a well go dry and there's a need to expeditiously replenish the well. And so one way the board could address this if it wished to would be to amend this ordinance, that is this urgency ordinance, so that the last paragraph on the section on the page which has section 3.5-13-102, so that's 3.5-13.102, the last paragraph on that page deals with exemptions, and in the middle of that paragraph is a sentence which can be amended to read as follows. This provision does not apply to the extraction of water for the purposes of supplying irrigation districts, comma, emergency services, comma, well replenishment for permitted wells, comma, a public water system, comma, and it goes on from there. So the portion that's been added or amended was the addition of the terms irrigation districts, emergency services, and well replenishment for permitted wells. Those would be added to that sentence, exempting them from having to obtain a well permit, or not a well permit, an off-site permit, an extraction permit for shipping wood off-site, in other words, the subject of this ordinance. If the board so desires, it could amend this ordinance so as to expand the exemptions. If it does so, and it passes this urgency ordinance, when it addresses the regular ordinance, it ought to do likewise if it's inclined to pass that as well, so that the two read identically.
Thank you. Further discussion?
So, through the chair, how long is the urgency ordinance good for? Anyone?
The urgency ordinance is indefinite. It's okay. Good. Indefinitely. However, also on the board's agenda is a regular ordinance.
Right.
And so, should you choose to adopt the regular ordinance over a series of two meetings, then the regular ordinance, 30 days after its adoption, will end up passing the urgency ordinance. It's not the correct term, but.
It'll take the place of the urgency ordinance. But if it reads identically, then it really makes no difference at that point. It's sort of academic.
And so I'm just going to say it. So a few years back, and I think one of the callers said back in 2014, I guess 15, when we passed ordinance that we are a non-commercial cannabis grow county, non-commercial. We limited the number of plants to 12, medicinal or recreational. We even upped it 6 over the state, 6 plants for recreational. But to comply with the ordinance, you had to have a home, you had to have a well, and you had to have a septic. Game over for me. I don't know where we've strayed, but anything else outside of that is flat out illegal. So, here we are. Yet again, on an urgency item, looking at something that confounds the rest of Siskiyou County that is operating legally, and we just tend to bring on layer after layer of bureaucracy. And yet, the ordinance that we passed that only allowed 12 plants, period, seems to be null and void. And I don't understand that, so I need to someone, I guess, educate me as to why that one isn't effective to the problem that we're having.
I would defer to the sheriff or code enforcement or district attorney.
Welcome back to the podium. Mr. Dean.
Yeah, I don't have a great answer for that, other to say that when folks do not obey the law and there are not enough teeth to enforce that law, we get what we have.
What teeth do we have for the person that's putting up a pole barn and it's required a permit and doesn't need it? What teeth do we have there?
We have a cease work order and also a double permit fee bond.
So what happens to the greenhouses that are just built at Randy currently? It's a structure.
Yeah,
not
it's a structure.
Pole barn.
We've been through this issue before. As a temporary structure, technically they're supposed to be permitted by the fire agency. That is not done. After 6 months of that permit being issued, it would become a permanent structure. It is subject to permitting from our building department.
So, I'm just confused, as my public is confused, as to what we do to try and combat this illegal activity. And I've been out there just a couple weeks ago with a group. If what I witnessed was happening on an ag parcel, anywhere in the county, State Water Board, State EPA, Cal Recycle, everybody that had any say about what was going on an agricultural piece of property would be all over this. It's an environmental disaster that's going on out there. And I don't see this stopping it. If the laws that we have already in place aren't stopping it, I don't see how this is going to help us. I prefer to go through the ordinance procedure versus the urgency, so that the public can have more of a weigh-in in this. But yet, I completely agree. This is a disaster out there, and it needs attention now. But it needed attention 5 years ago, and it's been left to grow because we're all sitting here trying to do the right thing, and our hands are tied legally. But I think this beckons a wider perspective of what door we're opening, especially with regard to water. I know the intent. I get the intent. But I don't know what far-reaching tentacles this is going to have in the future, and that concerns me.
Now, would you say, aside from the ILU activity, it's a water resource issue?
Siskiyou County's been a water resource issue ever since I've been on the board with regard to COVID. And yet, we get pounded for what we supposedly don't do, and yet the tens of millions of dollars that I've spent in coho habitat and restoration on the streams in the Scott and Shasta, but yet nobody is poking their head up about any of the activity that's going out in East County with illegal marijuana grows, and the effect, or the net effect, that that will have to fisheries long term. We're moving, well, not we. There's movement of water that's going places that weren't intended because there isn't much water there, and now the only target that's going to be on the back when there's less water in the system is going to be is the legal ag. And yet, what we're doing here brings them into that as well. And that, this is, you know, Mr. Dean, I know I'm just looking at you, and I'm not trying to focus on you. I'm just trying to make an overall statement that I get this, but I don't know that I agree with the process that we're taking on when all of the other laws that this county has put in place have been flatly ignored.
Sheriff.
I'll swap with Rick.
I guess it would help maybe clarify if you could maybe educate the board on why this would be effective and the previous method isn't. Maybe in manpower and time and expense and
yeah, a couple things. So, Sheriff LaRue. Well, first off, I think it's important that we direct our anger at the right people. You know, we have good people in this county that have agriculture. And we have people that are abusing that. We know who they are. And frankly, I'm perplexed that those individuals are not shamed more by not only other people in the ag world, but also the county. I know we talk a lot about that, but really that's those people, not just the growers, are helping this be established. And, you know, honestly, they're making a lot of money off of that. And so I just hope everyone who's listening and involved in this room later on that we focus on the people that are causing the problems. There isn't one approach to this. There's many approaches to it. We have ordinances that have been on the books for many years that maybe we haven't taken an aggressive approach at implementing or enforcing, but that's changing, and we have, I'm not going to go into details with it, but the Sheriff's Office, Planning and Development, Code Enforcement, we have been working with County Council to put together a more strategic approach to this and go after that. There is an issue of manpower, per se, of getting to all these locations, but you're absolutely right, it's 100% illegal. Commercial cannabis is 100% illegal in Siskiyou County. I have talked to the state, you have more than six plants, you're commercial by default. Even if we don't permit in the county, you're still operating in a commercial capacity. If there's any question as to if it's illegal or if it's commercial or not, anybody listening, if you have more than six plants, per state law, it's commercial. the board has determined that if you have an accessory structure, you could have a total of 12 plants on any given location. However, when we go to grows with 7,000 plants, it is not personal cannabis. So there's really no argument to be made by anybody cultivating more than 6 plants. It's a violation of our county ordinance and also state law. And we are going to aggressively enforce and fine to the extreme that we can. Whatever we can do, we're going to do. And I can't go into that, but I'm not giving up on this. This is all I think about lately. And it's a big, important topic that demands my full attention right now, and it's going to get it. And same with our department and other departments in the county. So I just want to say that, so this water off-parcel issue, I know it might affect a couple people. You know, I don't think it's going to be a big group, but I just ask people to be sort of reasonable with us, that the same rules and laws that enable agriculture community to thrive enable commercial cannabis to thrive. And there has to be sort of a give and take on that. And I just ask that people in the public that, you know, that are involved in agriculture, that they just try to help us and not just complain about yet another permit or another regulation. It might be a little bit of a, you know, inconvenience. I'm sure seatbelts were an inconvenience when they came in. You know, people weren't wearing them for a long time, but come on, help us out a little bit. I mean, that's what I would say to them. You know, this is not going to get done by just having the government show up and save everybody. Historically, that has never happened. So we need the cooperation of our local people to help us get to the bottom of this and really choke it out. Water's, that's how you grow plants. I mean, it's not that difficult. And this is another tool that we could use. You know, the septic issues alone are not going to get us to change commercial cannabis. Permitting is not going to change illegal commercial cannabis. Because the argument, I just throw this out, if people were going to do it right, they would have done it right from the beginning. It's 100% illegal. Regardless of how great the community thrives, it's still illegal activity. It's not wanted here, it's prohibited here. That's just the rules, that's the law. So the argument that suddenly if we were to legally permit everything, people would start complying, that never happens. Because there is no incentive to comply, even if it's permitted. So anyways, I digress on that, but the importance of this ordinance, both of them, we haven't gotten to the other one, it's just another tool for us to choke out the water issue that's enabling everything. And if it inconveniences a couple people, there's an easy process to get a permit. It is not, we have discretion on things. It is not designed to target specific people or races or anything of that nature. It is dealing with our precious groundwater. We have a drought. People's wells are going dry. People are screaming about it nonstop. All those things combined create a very serious problem for us. And I think that we should take a tougher stand with conserving our groundwater. It was not designed for this to be taken off and used for illegal activity. That's why people get ag wells, to deal with their own agriculture. That's not what's happening here. So again, pressure. Where is the pressure? Why aren't these people called out? I think that, you know, I hear a lot of, why isn't the county doing anything? We are, but I also throw it back to the community. We have to take this together. And we have to have support. And I think we hear quite a bit of it. I don't discount that, but I just recognize, again, we all have to come together on this. It's not just the sheriff's department or code or the board or the county. I mean, it's everybody. It's the entirety of it. So I'm here to answer any questions related to that. I just want to convey the seriousness of this. And now we're going to go out and aggressively enforce it. That's what we do. If there's laws in the books that we can use, it's not a matter that we don't want to do it. We just have to have the right teeth. Chairman, I don't know if I answered your question.
I didn't have the question.
Oh, that's you? Sorry.
So why doesn't the ordinance just say, regarding the illegal use of groundwater extraction for cannabis?
Well, I didn't write it.
But I know, but I'm just saying, I mean, that's what we're after.
Well, we do have a ordinance that was, I think, passed in August that deals with the wasting of groundwater linked to cultivation. There are some issues with that, and again, it's developing a case, and the mere extraction does not give us all the pieces to that.
Thank you.
Supervisor Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I consider your leadership probably in some of those edits. I appreciate it. I think they're good. So support for the chair. Thank you for that.
You're welcome, but the attorneys are...
Are the experts, okay.
working overtime behind the scenes here.
Like it, okay. In regards to the permit, it's mainly just a ministerial permit, isn't it?
Correct.
Just a ministerial permit. Tell us a short personal story. We drove a hay truck down the county road just a couple miles. It's all we ever drove it down the county road. But we got pulled over by law enforcement doing their job, and we had to make sure everything was licensed and insurance and all those things. And we only drove the truck a couple miles down the road and back and forth, but we still got stopped by law enforcement. It's just the cost of doing business in agriculture. It's just the way it is. You know, it's just how it goes. You know, there's a suggestion by a farmer that we should meet and discuss this and try to work it through, try to get a process. I think it'd be quicker just to do the ministerial permit and be done with it than to have a meeting and a meeting and a meeting to discuss and how we could save. To me, you'd be spending several hours to save 5 minutes. It just doesn't make any sense. From an agricultural perspective, I don't agree with that logic at all. You know, I had a former ag commissioner reach out to me, and that was a public comment I read. He thinks about this globally through the whole county. You know, his heart's still in. He still volunteers quite a bit for the wolves, a lot of it on his own time. He would never do anything that would be anti-agriculture in any way, shape, or form. He knows how to read ordinances. He knows how to read permits. You know, to have someone of that caliber say, this is important for ag, and speak on behalf of ag, says quite a bit about where the agriculture community reaches on this. This news, even Butte Valley, which is far east, it's over a mountain, so people kind of forget it, you know, in when this ordinance came out, I had farmers and ranchers in Butte Valley say, thumbs up, way to go, Kelly. And I had people in Shasta Valley reach out to me, too, the agricultural committee. So, yeah, to me, it doesn't make sense to me to give, try to shave 5 minutes off time for a permit. We have a legitimate concern with domestic wells going dry. And our irony is that, you know, the reason why water tender had to go down the road to recharge the wells because the wells going dry because of illegal use by another domestic well. So the question I have for Mr. Andrews, Mr. LaRue, Sheriff LaRue, D.A. Andrews, I'm going to put you guys on the spot here real quick, okay? Just forewarning. I take it that you both support this ordinance. Do you both support the need for urgency?
Yes.
Don't we need... Yeah, okay.
Sheriff says yes.
Okay.
And I completely agree.
Okay, so the sheriff and the EAC naturally need for emergency ordinance. Right. But I'll stop there.
It doesn't look like there's any more comment online. I guess what I'd like to do is weigh in a little bit here in that I appreciate council working on a few things that were hanging me up pretty bad on this. There are still some. You know, Mr. Fawaz that spoke earlier has some circumstances that that are concerning to me. I hate placing encumbrances on people doing legitimate business in this county just because of a few bad actors that thumb their nose at us and thumb their nose at society and thumb their nose at our way of life, all to make a buck. And that includes some of the well owners. It's not just the growers from my perspective. I too am appalled that the ag community doesn't step up and do this. You know, through their own shaming or whatever, you know, coercive techniques they use from a community standpoint. As foresters, my profession, we did that with foresters 4 years ago when we were being asked to do conversions under our THP license for commercial groves, and all but one of us in the county said no. And the other one is no longer participating with anything that we do either. And their business has suffered greatly. I would expect the same of my peers in agriculture, but I don't see it. I'm not here to scold ag, but I am here to say that my record stands pretty firm in supporting everything in ag. But here, as I was with hemp, I'm being asked to split the baby. I think there's a little inconvenience from this permitting standpoint, but I think that can be handled through the permit process itself. If a legitimate user has a business that requires different parcels to go to and may not know those at the beginning of the year, from my perspective, I wouldn't support this if that would trigger the need to get a separate permit for each one of those activities. It's just not feasible. It's not feasible from a business standpoint. What I would support, though, is a permit at the beginning of the year for which they could either phone in or mail in clients as they so add to that permit for the legal delivery of water. That cures a lot of ills, I believe. And I also say that, from my perspective, we're talking about 10 permits in this county. I wouldn't care if the permit fee were $1. That works for me. $250 is so far out of the realm. Even $100. If it's $100, I can't support that either. Because that, in effect, besides the inconvenience of putting the permit in place, is punitive on the good, hardworking citizens of this county, and we ought to make it darn near free for those with a legitimate business. But I'm going to yield to anybody else who wants to say something.
How much is a burn permit fee, just by chance?
A what permit?
A burn permit fee. Do you know offhand?
I believe they're free.
Yeah, okay. They are.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think one time I was at the ag office and I saw the people coming in for a burn permit fee. You know, I think, you know, an annual fee, you know, permit is pretty, I could go down that path. I typically wouldn't, because I think people should be paid for what it's costing us. We do a lot of things that people should be paying before. Right? In this particular instance, I would agree for the limited number that I see, like you suggested. To me, it's just too much time and effort to go through a process to charge it, whatever the thing is. It takes away that darn excuse that another layer of bureaucracy, whatever, because I agree, ag should step up here and say, we need to do this, because it's going to affect them down the line, right?
I believe so.
So, anyways, enough on that.
Thank you, Council, very much for working so hard on this, because this is important. I agree that the ag people should help be responsible for this. I do believe that the permitting process should be a little bit, I don't think it should be costly, but I think it should be important enough to make it worth their while. But it should be not an encumbrance for the people that are not truly affected by it. Our agriculture people, farmers, ranchers, should plan ahead a little bit But our agency should make it so that they can. Don't make it too hard on them. You know, work with them pleasantly. So it's not a bad experience. Yeah, we need to make this work, and we need to do it well. And hopefully we can support law enforcement and our DA, and hopefully you can support us in our decisions, because this has to be a two-way street. If we're going to give you what you need, you have to support us in our decisions.
I just have a clarification based on what you said. I'm not repeating what you said. We need to be mindful of, you know, I think there's a picture maybe in a lot of people's mind that a rancher lives on a piece of property, farms that piece of property, that's where they do their business, that's where they stay. That couldn't be further from the truth. Operating today, especially in my communities, I mean, we have some ranchers, if you will, with that moniker, that don't own much land. You know, they provide services to other ranchers. I have ranchers in Sky Valley that do own land, but they provide services in Shasta Valley. And as such, they contract with other ranches. So they need the freedom and the flexibility, if you will, in their business to be able to just make a call and add somebody to your list. And that's what I was getting at. I couldn't expect them in January to know who their customers are for the following year. It's just not feasible. And it would ruin them. And the paper chase associated with that would ruin them. So I'm looking for the maximum amount of discretion you might have to make it painless and seamless as possible to add to a permit without fee. So, if there's no further discussion.
Through the chair, if I could just get one clarification. Does the board intend to not have a fee associated with this permit? Because if that were true, then we could just delete the fee language altogether.
Works for me.
You got two.
If it happens, there shouldn't be a fee.
Yeah, I'll make a motion then with the language that we talked about earlier, with no fee.
So just to be clear, that would be deleting from section 3.5-13.103 the second sentence, which reads, "The application for administrative permit shall be accompanied by the fees established therefore, which fees shall be established by resolution of the Board of Supervisors." That would be deleted. And then in section 3.5-13.107, second sentence, the phrase, "and upon payment of the renewal application fee," would also be struck.
Looking for a second?
I would, if you're looking for a second, Mr. Chair, second it with all your changes.
Wendy.
So are we taking a vote on the whole as amended or just on the fee structure?
My understanding it's the recommended motion to approve this urgency ordinance with the
fee structure and the additional language in this paragraph.
Okay. Second concurs for formality.
That language and then removal of the fee language. Yes.
Correct.
That's what I forgot.
Further discussion for clarification with regard to, I heard irrigation districts were included in this now.
Yes,
is that correct for the exemption?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm just going to make a statement. Even though the DA and the sheriff support this, and I'm likely not to, just because it grows government, and I think it grows us in a place that we're going to wish we hadn't done it. But that's my feeling. It isn't the need for the urgency that I don't realize. I get that. I just think that we're hitting this at the wrong spot. And so I don't want the DA and the sheriff to take it as a personal offense if I don't support this. Like I said, I'm more for the ordinance process versus just making sausage in public like we so often do. So I just, it's just my philosophy of what government should be doing. So.
Okay.
Wendy.
Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
I'm a nay, and not because of the urgency, but because of the process that we're putting in place.
Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
So it looks like it is at least 4/5 vote, so that does pass. The version I have here, Natalie, though, does not include the language. Get that to us so we can get a signature.
Yes.
So, yeah. We put 15 minutes on my topic schedule. You okay, Wendy?
Yep.
Moving on to item 8C, County Council. Mr. Skierski.
Yes, Planning Director Kirk Skierski. I will be presenting the standard non-urgency version ordinance of what we just discussed. As you previously were identified, this is essentially a requirement to get a ministerial permit to take water off parcel. With that being said, staff would recommend also incorporating the recommended changes or the approved changes from the urgency ordinance into this ordinance. That is all I have.
Okay. Anything from council?
No, we should specify just for the record where it is. For the record, it's the motion would be to make the exact same changes to this ordinance that we made to the prior ordinance.
And it's also to schedule first read?
Yes, that's correct.
That would be my question. That was not significant enough change to require having the first reading come through again, correct?
Correct. I think we're fine.
We're okay on that. Yes. Okay, thank you. Just wanted to make sure.
For discussion.
I'll discuss that.
So the Sigma language that's in here it's been brought up by the public as well. Are we in a place? I don't think we're actually using Sigma. We mention it here and that we're working on a sustainability plan. I'm looking at K.
Yes.
Page 2.
So Siskiyou County is not actually the entity that's working on sustainability plans. The flood district is working on those plans. And Sigma is not being used as an authority for the board's passage of this ordinance. The board would be relying on their police powers.
And
item K.
And then M is talking about it again.
Yes, the county does want to support the flood district in meeting Sigma's goals. However, we are not the groundwater sustainability agency, and we are relying on our police powers for passage of this ordinance. Okay. And at present time, the flood district has not adopted a groundwater sustainability plan.
Okay. And a recommended motion or a motion is amended to, this is to put this into the hearing process. Is that correct or not?
Correct.
So this would be the first reading of the ordinance, and upon the second reading, there would be a public hearing.
If you're looking for a motion, Mr. Chair.
Unless there's further discussion.
I would make the
comment. If there's any public comment online, please raise your hand, press star 9.
Seeing none,
then I am looking for a motion.
And Mr. Chair, I would make the motion as raised by Mr. Kiernan.
And that's also to...
Chair?
Oh.
Too quick. We do have one public comment online. Um, 2885. Hello? Call ending in 2885. You're being recognized.
This is Paul Manassian. I'm an attorney. I represent the Gorsuch family in this situation. I would reiterate the comments that we have previously made. I think it's important for you to recognize that in adopting this ordinance on a long-term basis, the proper procedure is to utilize the Siskiyou County Flood Control Water Conservation District role as the groundwater sustainability agency. That is, if permits are to be issued and they control the amounts of water to be pumped out from the underground or the use of the water, it is different than the land use powers of the county. And the proper procedure I would suggest to you respectfully, and you can do this on a rapid basis, is you would go to a Siskiyou County Flood Control. You would say, I'd like you to consider adopting an interim plan that requires permits to be issued for groundwater that is to be extracted under these circumstances and used off of the property. The Siskiyou County Flood Control Water Conservation District would then determine if that was an appropriate step to take. And by an interim plan, I mean there are going to be long-term restrictions. People, as an example, who are suffering or claim to be suffering reductions in domestic wells are probably going to end up with requirements in a long-term plan that those wells be deepened before a certain date. And you want to get all these regulations in regard to groundwater pumping and well design and well use, you want to get them all in one place. Well, I understand you're in a hurry in regard to feeling that there's a relationship between the groundwater pumping in these circumstances and somehow permitting unlawful commercial cannabis operation. And although we may disagree with that and think that there's a better tool to be used, let's try to put all the regulations regarding groundwater use and all the permits that people have to get in one plan and in one area so that we don't have multiple permits for the same wells. Thank you. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Thank you. I'm back to, I think we're... Okay. Caller online, Jen, you're being recognized.
Hi, it's Jennifer Dickinson again. I'm an attorney here in Siskiyou County. I do not believe that you need to go to any water boards or anything for this, because this is regarding commercial groundwater extraction. That's the only comment that I have to make. Again, thank you very much for your time and for doing this for our community.
Thank you. All right, I believe I have a motion and a second.
I heard a motion. Supervisor Chris, I did not get the second.
Is it in here yet either? Anybody want to make it?
One second.
Okay.
And my notes here that second reading public hearing could be on the first meeting in June, June 1st. I will have time to publish for that one. If that works.
Okay. Motion maker.
Yeah. Thank you. Do the best you can with you, so absolutely.
Perfect. All righty. So Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
I'm an aye, and for the it's more of the public process so that we can hear from the public on this.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Help?
And I as well will appreciate the public engaging in this more lengthy conversation so that we can strengthen this over time. And I'm gonna...
Is that 5-0?
So, I hate to ask.
I think this is the shortest agenda I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, don't be fooled. you okay, Wendy? Give me a break.
I'm good so far.
Okay, and see, I ordered dinner, right?
Chocolate cake.
Yeah. Okay. Item 8D, County Council, urgency ordinance related to water trucks and regulating their use upon certain county roads. Who's teeing this off?
I can do so.
Okay.
So this is a urgency ordinance which proposes that the county restrict water trucks as defined as anything carrying in excess of 100 gallons be prohibited from using certain specified roads, and those roads will be specified in a separate resolution. The penalty for violating it is $100, that's set by state statute, but it also would be potentially a misdemeanor, and so it could be prosecuted as a criminal offense as well. And so as the provisions addressing the fact that this is an urgency item set forth, they're similar to those which were set forth in connection with the previous ordinance, in that it's an effort to try to combat the illegal cannabis cultivation that is rampant in various parts of our county.
Questions from the board? I have some. any reason why item 8F is separated from D and E? Why is that?
The resolutions from the ordinance?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have the answer.
I'm just
clarifying for those guys.
Probably a legal question, maybe. I don't know.
I separated them out because it's easier to amend a resolution than it is an ordinance. And so my experience with these things is such that quite frequently people want to add additional streets to which to apply the ordinance, and occasionally issues will arise so that the board might be inclined to subtract certain roads to which it apply. And so the easier way to make those amendments is if the road specified is in a resolution.
Okay, and I would assume that it also means they can be taken off easier.
Exactly, yes. And I should mention, Sheriff LaRue, if this is no longer an issue, you can say so. I think you had the suggestion of a couple additional roads to which this would apply. I don't know if that's still your inclination.
Oh.
I think it was in the Humboldt area.
Humboldt.
KRC.
View Valley, maybe? Oh, Hornbrook. Sorry.
Hornbrook. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm not.
I was trying to get something.
Green Forest, sorry.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
No, good. Yeah.
Yeah, Hornbrook.
Starts
with an H.
Yeah, it's close. Yeah, if you want me to speak on it. All right, just real quick. The idea is to keep it fluid so we can add or change. Different parts of the county have the same issue, but you know they vary. So we just want to make it very specific to those areas and roads, depending on the area, instead of an all county. So if it's View Valley or Hornbrook, Shasta Vista, whatnot, and I'm not sure what's on that particular list.
Yeah, and actually, maybe I'm getting ahead of ourselves, because we can take that issue up when we deal with the resolution. But you asked about the resolution, so we can address it then. Right now, we're just dealing with the ordinance.
Okay.
Okay.
Where did the 100 gallons come from?
So the average daily, I guess, for a human being is 100 gallons. So it would seem that if somebody needed that. There should be a provision in there. Of course, I'm not trying to speak on behalf of council, but that was my understanding of it. So that it's not unreasonable to a human consumption, if you will.
I initially proposed restricting water tenders, as that's defined in the state code. My recollection is that's 1,500 gallons or more, and then I got feedback from the sheriff and others, or I forget who gave me feedback. Somebody gave me feedback to the effect that if we only restricted water tenders, that wouldn't be sufficiently restrictive, and the suggestion was made that the cutoff point be 100 gallons for the reasons the sheriff just mentioned.
What's the legal mechanism if somebody needs to operate on this road?
You can get a permit issued by the Public Works Department.
Yet another permit?
Well, I'm trying to make a way to address.
What if they're already permitted under state law? One of the things I'm getting at is the under timber harvest plans, the fire requirements you're required to have under 150 gallons. Pumpable water for fire needs a timber operation. And it's not unreasonable to think that somebody's towing one of those back and forth up and down A-12.
I do believe there's an exemption in this for, was it emergency vehicles?
It is, yes. We could amend that to include the vehicles you're making reference to, if you wish.
I would recognize permits that are not just Siskiyou County permits, I guess, for authorized uses, if we can do that.
We can, but we're starting to get into more complicated amendments. That maybe we don't want to do on the fly.
Well, maybe then. Emergency vehicles and apparatus.
I mean, right. I'm thinking
an emergency vehicle. I'm thinking of something red lights and sirens.
Lights and sirens. Yeah. Right. For emergency purposes.
Emergency purposes. Probably a better.
Sorry. And just the CAO makes a good point, which is the inapplicability section does say to the extent that any provision of this article conflicts with state or federal law. Either on its face or as applied, it shall be inapplicable to the extent of such conflict. So I don't know if the permit you're making reference to issued by the state would supersede essentially this permit.
Well, there's not really a permit. It's an approval of the THP and the timber harvest plan, which comes with a subsequent contract.
If you want to take a short break, we can discuss it offline.
No. I'm okay if we're looking at emergency equipment. I'm not red lights and sirens.
Right.
Discussion.
What's the cost of this permit?
We don't specify. That'll be something that we have to come back and the board will decide. It can be up to the amount necessary to recover our costs, or it can be less than our costs.
So if under the previous urgency item, if the permit is granted there and the water is being moved off parcel to charge a domestic well, under this ordinance, they will be required to get yet another permit?
What this contemplates is that if somebody wants to operate a water truck as we've defined it on the roads upon which you would be prohibiting it vis-a-vis the resolution, yes, they would need a separate ordinance issued by the Public Works. An interesting possibility, which we've not run through, which would be to make the permit issued by Rick's department satisfy this requirement, but that isn't how this is currently set up. And insofar as it's, we were issuing permits from separate departments, we'd have to tweak it a little bit to accomplish that goal. Well,
again, coming back to being good government, we should be doing that. And we're not the state and the feds where each agency is competing for permit fees, even if they're only a dollar. Quite frankly, the permit should be for whatever use, if you're going to grant a permit. But if you come back at it again and say that we want to get another permit, I can't support that. It just flies in the face of being responsible to the public. Sorry.
Through the chair.
Yes, sir.
I hesitate because I don't like doing this on the fly like this, but I think I could probably come up with a language in which 3-4.1504, dealing with special permits, I could add a provision if you give me a few minutes to think it through, in which we can amend that to say that permits issued under the other ordinance would satisfy this requirement.
Okay.
So, are we taking a break then, so he can?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was about to bring this to a close, I think.
Yeah. Rick Dean, Community Development Director.
Yes.
That said, I understand that it won't cover all cases, so there may be someone that's hauling water from a municipality that would not require a permit from us to be on the roadway.
Okay. Any more discussion? Any further discussion? Any public comment? Press *9, please, if you have a public comment.
Seeing none.
Seeing none, I'm looking for a motion.
Also moved with the improvements that Mr. Kimber made to the ordinance.
And I should, if that's the motion, I should specify what those.
I'm sorry. I thought you read them to us. No, I read.
I gave the concept, but I should give the exact language.
Yeah, if you need a little time to do that, absolutely. I thought that was the right wording.
Give me 30 seconds. I'll come up with it.
That's fine.
Through the chair, we do have a raised hand now.
Sure. Caller online, 2154.
Oh, you have 3 minutes.
You have 3 minutes for a comment, please.
Hey, I'd like to stay anonymous again. So regarding the water truck, I again live in Big Springs, and we are seeing them, numerous water trucks every single day, all day long on our two-lane roads. My children drive these roads. My elderly parents drive these roads. We've got here for 20 years, and now we're dodging water trucks every single day. I, for one, think you guys should support this ordinance alone just because of the hazard and the safety hazard that we as community members are facing every single day. So thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Caller Jen.
Hi, it's Jen Dickinson again, and the reason why I may be premature, is there an email address where I can send more roads that need to be put in the resolution? Because there are roads off of Highway 97 that the illegal pot growers have made that they need to be added so that they don't go from Highway 97 into like Quarry Road and Juniper Valley and Bonanza and Shasta Vista. So is there some email that I can just email this list to?
You may email that to the county clerk's office that you can find on the webpage, but I will, with a caution, we can't impose vehicular regulations on roads that are not in the county maintained system.
Okay, so these are roads that are actually off of Highway 97 that the growers have created.
Understand.
To get into the grow sites.
I understand. We don't have jurisdiction on those. But you may mail that to us so that we are can take that under consideration.
Okay, so and is it Laura Bynum? Is that the email address?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm sorry to take into your time.
Counsel.
So the language which would...
Another one, sorry. Caller 9474. Three minutes.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you done or do you want me to hold?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You have 3 minutes.
Okay. I only have one comment. This is Ginger Sunito out in Big Springs again. But I do want to let you know that my security camera, and between the time of 5 a.m. to 12 noon, with 93 trucks going in one direction, it's hazardous. We can't even go across the road to even check our mail without, you know, doing four checks, you know, and then running. And it's also hazardous to the roads themselves. It's tearing them up. It's going to cost the county even more money just to pave them, to get them back up to snuff. So that's all I have to say, is that 93 trucks within 4 hours.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, I think we're... caller 0599. Hello?
Hello?
Hello,
hello. This is Mrs. C again. I live out in Big Springs. I absolutely agree with the two other commenters about the water trucks, or the three other commenters about the water trucks. What happens is a lot of times there'll be a water truck and there'll be at least a couple of cars following them. If you're behind these vehicles, a lot of times you'll have to slam your brakes on because you don't know where they're going to. They are deteriorating the road on A-12 where my property is. It's crumbling off, and now we have like indentions in the road because there's so many water trucks. The other day we were sitting out and we counted over 40 water trucks going past within maybe an hour or so. It's 24/7 and they're running at night. So it's definitely an issue. Thank you very much. I appreciate all your hard work.
Thank you. All right, seeing no more, I'm going to turn to council.
So the language that would effectuate what we were discussing just a little while ago would be an additional sentence to section 3-4.1504, which is on page 4 of the ordinance. And the additional sentence would read, any permit issued under Siskiyou County Code Article 3.5 to Chapter 13 of Title 3 shall satisfy this requirement, period. And that would basically allow anybody who'd gotten a permit under that other Article 3.5 to have carte blanche to drive anywhere in the county for the duration of that permit, which is 1 year.
Motion maker agrees.
What a coincidence, I was thinking the exact same words. So, you can have the numbers exact right. So, I would make that motion, Mr. Chair, with the what Mr. Kieran said, sir.
Did I have a second? You remind me, my mind is elsewhere.
We had public coming in, so hang on. I've lost it. Nope, we did not. No second yet.
Second. I'll make the second.
Okay.
Quick question on the penalties. We have $100. Mm-hmm. We have $5,000 on the other one. What are we doing?
It's restricted by state law. State law indicates that we have the power to do this, but then says the fine is $100.
But we
also are able to enforce it as a misdemeanor, and so there is a potential for criminal sanctions.
Misdemeanors even count anymore?
You'll have to ask the DA.
Yeah, they do. I mean, you can go into Walmart, steal $950 worth of stuff, and walk out, and nobody will touch it. So, help me out here. If we're trying to be effective, does misdemeanors count?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it also allows seizure of the trucks in connection with the DLs.
So with regard to seizure of the truck, I know the California Highway Patrol had tried to do that, did it, and impounded them and had to return them because they had the special permit from DMV, the ag permit. How will that affect this?
Well, that's separate. This is... Sorry. So this ordinance, it's a misdemeanor subject to enforcement. Evidence can be collected, you know, that's related to the crime, and it's also arrestable. So the sections you're probably thinking of, if they're impounded and they're not part of the case, then they are subject to release within a certain period of time.
Well, they found they had this, I think it's called an S permit.
Yes.
And they had to return them because they had that permit.
Right, that's a separate, it's almost an agricultural exemption.
Yes.
Of some kind, correct.
Yes. So how will that apply here?
It's two separate issues. So this is dealing with the violation of the ordinance, regardless of plate.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what's on the vehicle, per se.
Okay.
That helps.
Okay. I just don't want to go down the path that's already been kind of blown up.
No, I would understand that. Yeah, this is regardless of plates or special licensing, it's just prohibited on the roadway.
Roll call.
Okay. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
I'll pass for a minute while I'm contemplating it. Go ahead.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev. The chair is usually last.
Yeah.
Supervisor Howell. And this is the other one I'll need. If you get hard copies, get them signed by the chair with the corrections on it.
So on this next one coming up with regard to the permanent ordinance, that opens up the public hearing on this one as well, correct? This was the urgency item.
Yes, and the next one is just a regular version of the same thing.
Right. And what I'm saying is it opens up the public comment, the public hearing process.
Yes, we'll have a public hearing subsequent.
During that public hearing, evidence or more information is brought forward that changes that dynamic, it would also change its urgency item as well.
It would not. If, for instance, additional information came up that caused you to say we shouldn't have passed that, we'd have to appeal it. Or if additional information came up that caused you to think we should amend it, we'd have to amend it. Right? None of it's written in stone, but a change on the regular ordinance won't affect the urgency ordinance.
But on the other one...
But the regular ordinance would go into effect and the urgency ordinance would disappear when it's in place, isn't that correct?
So if your regular ordinance, is amending those code sections of the urgency ordinance you just passed, then it would change.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, that's a good point. So I sort of changed my mind a little bit. Natalie makes a good point. So yes, if we amend, although. If we're amending the regular ordinance at the second reading, that'll turn it into a first reading if it's substantive.
Understood that. All I'm after is,
the urgency item can be overturned through that.
Yeah, you could do it because it's amending the same sections. But we would delay the process a little bit because you would be a first reading.
I get that. I just want to know that we can do that.
Because
otherwise I got to change my vote if we can't.
I guess you were suggesting, what if we decide we don't want to do this at the second reading?
There's a substantial change.
Substantial change, you're good. If you just decide, gee, this is a bad idea, we don't want to proceed, we'd have to repeal the first one. That is the urgency.
Okay.
Are we taking up the next one, or are we taking a break?
I'm good to keep going.
All right. The permanent ordinance, item E. Who's presenting?
Everybody's looking good. I'm sorry. This is the regular ordinance. This is basically the exact same thing as what we just discussed, except you'd have to make the amendment if that's your... If that's what you wish to do, the amendment being allowing the prior ordinances having to do with water extraction, a permit issued under that to also satisfy the requirements of this. So basically, all the discussion we just had over the urgency ordinance is equally applicable to this. And so it's up to the discretion of the board whether it wishes to do that.
I'm going to ask for public comment on this item, but just be aware this is a duplicate of what we just discussed.
Press star 9 if you have public comment. Seeing none.
All right, seeing none, I'm looking for a motion.
I'll make the motion, Mr. Chair, with the additions, amendments, and changes submitted by county council.
And again, June 1st would be a good date for this as well.
You always pick the right date.
Thank you.
So motion made, yes.
Any other discussion? Second?
Second.
Second by Supervisor Ogren. No further discussion. Roll call.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Help?
Aye. Okay. Next item F is a list of roads in the resolution. Is there a presentation, or are we just going to look for public comment? So if there is any public comment on this, this is just addition to the previous two we just voted on that would incorporate these roads by resolution into the enforcement under the ordinance. Raise your hand by pressing star 9 if you have any comment. One public comment. 3 minutes.
Number 2885, please go ahead.
My name is Paul Manassian. May I caution you and ask that the county council address the question? We were not able to pull up this list of roads on your agenda, and I am concerned for you that you may be violating the Brown Act if you go ahead and try to approve the list. As I've read your proposed urgency ordinance and the full-scale ordinance that will be subject to further hearing, you left and delegated this authority to the county public works department to designate the roads. That is, if I looked at the face of the documents, it didn't seem to me that the Board of Supervisors was approving a particular list of roads. So why don't we let Mr. Kiernan deal with the Brown Act question in regard to the agenda, and then you ought to recite your intentions as to whether you're going to adopt this list or the Public Works Department is. And of course, I think you're all aware that there is a danger. There are many roads in the county that were dedicated but not accepted for maintenance purposes. And you don't want to get in a situation where you designate a road in order to require a permit for a water truck, and all of a sudden it's argued that you've accepted the dedication. Thank you.
But I pulled it up, it shows on my
page. Yeah. It's item F under, on the agenda webpage that pops up for all of us. Council, would you like to address that?
Yeah, my understanding is, as you stated, which is we posted the agenda more than 72 hours ahead of this meeting, and to the agenda were attached, were attachments including this resolution. So unless there's a glitch I'm unaware of, the Brown Act has been satisfied, and I'm getting feedback from everybody that when they go online, this resolution is there. Regarding the issue of who designates which roads to which this applies, give me just a moment.
It's document number two.
I want to take a look at the ordinance and respond after having taken a look at that. So give me just a moment to look over something. And I'm prepared to deal with that issue. That is set forth in section 3-4.1501 of the ordinance, both the urgency and the regular ordinance. The regular ordinance, of course, is not yet in effect. In subdivision B, where it indicates, I'll just read it, pursuant to the authority provided by Siskiyou County under Vehicle Code section 21101C, water trucks are prohibited from traveling over such streets as defined in the California Vehicle Code section 9590, and highways as defined in California Vehicle Code section 360, that the Board of Supervisors may specify by resolution. So that pretty clearly indicates that it is the board that specifies which roads to which this applies. I think council may be alluding to the fact that use permits are issued by public works, but that's a different issue as to what roads this ordinance applies to. It clearly indicates the board selects the roads by resolution.
All right, thank you. I'll call a question. Is there further discussion? So moved.
I'll second.
And that's just to adopt the resolution as is, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Adopt the resolution with the additional language pertaining to permits.
I believe this
is... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting all mixed up. Strike that.
Yeah, the ordinance.
Adopt the resolution.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah. We're not adding or deleting any roads. We're
no,
just...
Ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Supervisor Kobsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. One quick question on this road thing. Does the road commissioner, the county road commissioner of Public Works, do they have the ability to shut off roads that enter the county system that aren't on the that may be a safety factor? Do we know the answer to that? And is that something to pursue? And I don't know if the state road department, the 97 comment we heard from those roads that are not county maintained that are entering, we need to find out if there's a vehicle or a venue to be able to shut some of that off, because it would be a public safety factor.
If I'm through the chair, if I'm understanding correctly your question, there is a limited ability to pass similar restrictions with regard to roads that aren't exclusively under the county's control, but require submission to a state agency for their approval. So it's a more, but it can be done if there's a need, but there's an extra hoop you gotta jump through.
I believe that includes weight limits.
And I'm thinking more of driveways that are just
appear, and it isn't a approved driveway. Yeah.
Illegal encroachments.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a separate issue, but we can talk about it. And
I'm throwing it out to either the road department or to the sheriff. I mean, that might be another venue that we don't have to deal with, but it's already on the books.
I would suggest we bring it back, because I think it's a separate issue, not agendized. But you and I can talk.
Okay, yeah. It's just a question, comment.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd suggest that we ought to look toward the Caltrans from the standpoint of illegal encroachments on Highway 97. It would be completely within their jurisdiction. Okay, I'm going to recess the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors and convene as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Item 9A is for public comment. Is there public comment? If so, please press star 9 for the Flood Control District only, please. 3 minutes.
Seeing none,
I'm looking for a minute approval.
And approved.
Second. A motion and a second. Lee, roll call.
And that was Kobsev for the second?
Yes.
Thank you. Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Kobsev?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Haupt?
Aye. Adjourn as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and convene as the Board of Supervisors again. Board of Supervisors, item 10A, local emergency related to imminent threat of wildfire. I believe there was some discussion maybe the Supervisor Ogren had before we go to a vote.
I would like to request that this be updated before we vote to approve this. I think there's some more current data that needs to be included in there, considering the seriousness of the county's distress over, I forgot which one A was, fires?
Yes.
Yeah. Slater, fire, there's a lot more information there that I think we can utilize in there. We need to incorporate that information before we vote to approved.
Through the chair, my suggestion would be if this is the board's inclination to approve this and give direction to staff that the next time we bring it back, we bring it back with the updates there. That'd be my suggestion, just because we'd be better able to incorporate the new information than trying to do it through the amendment process right now.
Let me
just real quick, it would be a new resolution, I believe.
It would be a new resolution, yes. So if my suggestion would be approve this one, extending the existing resolution, and then give direction to staff to come back with an updated one for the next meeting.
My motion was to extend, but to engage the additional information from Supervisor Ogren input to be incorporated into a new resolution. Support.
I was acting then, but Ogren might want to do so.
Real quick, though, this will extend it for 60 days. Do we want to come right back at the board next board meeting, or wait till we're closer?
If that's the preference of the board, we can either wait 60 days or bring it back the next board meeting.
That was my motion.
The next board meeting?
Yeah.
Thank you. Just want to make sure. Thank you.
I think, you know, some of the things that I'd be interested in, you know, what we're talking about is cost.
Thank you.
And the human tragedy associated with it.
Okay.
And
Supervisor Chris, you were the second?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Roll call.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 10B, emergency declaration related to proliferation of illegal cannabis. Looking for a motion.
Move to approve.
Motion.
Second.
And was that to extend, correct?
Extend.
Thank you. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye. All right, 11A is appointments. County clerk.
Okay. These are the vacancies for the alternates on the Siskiyou County Fish and Game Commission. These would be representatives from Supervisorial Districts 1 and 4. Those terms end January 6th of 2025. And for Supervisorial District 5, with a term ending January 2nd, 2023. And at the time the agenda worksheet was created, the board had, or the clerk's office had not received any letters of interest. If we could, we could certainly continue that until some come in.
Motion to continue.
Second.
Motion and second.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren? And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 12A, minute approval.
Okay, I had one correction that I received for minutes for April 6, 2021 under the Board of Supervisors. And it's the item that's discussion, direction, possible action regarding options concerning vacation rental policy and or associated vacation rental moratorium. Been suggested that we add this language between two paragraphs. Supervisor Haupt spoke in opposition to an all-county moratorium on vacation rentals, advising of the need for increased recreational opportunities and tourism, in particular in Supervisorial District 5. And that would, I've got the two paragraphs here that I'll place that in, but it's just adding language to that one agenda item. And no additional corrections beyond that.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye. Board and staff reports.
No, just a good news one, Mr. Chair. We had a woman that is retiring this July, 43 years, volunteer EMT with Butte Valley Ambulance. 43 years.
Wow.
To tell you how good she was, I used to, if I responded first to a house on a 911 call, I'd walk in there and I'd say her name. I'd say, she's on her way. And the mood in the house would just calm down. No matter how stressful it was, she just had that presence. Even before she even got there, she had that presence. So it's just a happy new story. I'll probably bring a resolution to Ms. Black in the future and try to recognize her somehow.
Yeah, just real quick, I just want to let you know our Greenways program down, at least down in South County, is working very well. Just a lot of activity. People are, I meant to mention this during our resolution regarding the fire issue. Heightened awareness, a lot of things moving on that front. I want to publicly thank our road department that did some clearing from WA Bar all the way out towards the campground and then all along Mott Road. So that, we've stepped up our game, and I just want to thank the public for taking advantage of the Greenways program.
Great.
Collier Interpretive Center meeting. We discussed a new display on home hardening, fire mitigation, forest resiliency. We're looking to try to get local agency input with volunteers to help with presentations and information sharing. And we're working on an interpretive trail project along the river. I attended the Caltrans workshop for Highway 3. That was 2 hours worth of fun and excitement. That project is due to start next summer, 2022, and it'll probably go for 2 years, with hopefully the least amount of impact to our merchants as possible. And then I volunteered at the Rescue Ranch for their May Day event, which addressed mostly emergency preparedness information and demonstrations for animals. Forest Service was there, Animal Control was there, Humane Society was there with representatives, a lot of information booths, and I was teaching crate training and muzzle training for dogs so that in emergency preparedness people can get their dogs out and to safe places, and if they had to be in shelters and places like that, with their humans they could be well maintained and contained. And they showcased a lot of the rescue dogs from the Slater Fire and also Mount Shasta Vista, and they were up for adoption. So that was kind of a cool day.
That's about it. So with that, I believe we are going to close session.